Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. We don't find it easy in the UK to talk about our illnesses, especially those that relate to stomachs and going to the toilet. In fact, us Brits find it terribly embarrassing. But tonight I'm going to talk about and go right against the grain and talk about Crohn's disease and colitis, which are inflammatory bowel diseases. Joining me in the studio, at last we've let him into the building, is Dean Bennett, who's a volunteer from the Crohn's and Colitis UK West Midlands Network. Good evening, Dean.
Good evening.
We've let you in then.
I found it, yes. Yeah, ran around a bit.
Excellent. Well, you've passed the test. Well done. Now, look, you've got first of all, tell me all about Crohn's and Colitis UK.
Crohn's and Colitis UK are the leading charity for both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis in the whole of the UK. They work to try and improve diagnosis and treatment and the funding into a cure, because currently there is no cure for it.
No.
We're aiming to drive world-class research that will improve lives today, support and empower everyone to manage their conditions, and drive high-quality, sustainable clinical care across the UK. Because many people can be sat for 2 years before they even manage to find their diagnosis, back and forth to the GP. So we need to try and find ways to easily identify it in people.
So tell me then, what is the difference between Crohn's and colitis? Because the two tend to get bunged together, don't they?
Yeah. So you've got Crohn's disease will do everything from mouth to back end. Mm-hmm. It can include anything within the digestive system. Colitis, or ulcerative colitis as its full title, will do just your bowels, so mostly your intestines, and stay generally to there.
And that's the inflammation
is you've not got the right bacteria to handle the foods coming in, and it gets there, it doesn't know what to do, so starts attacking itself, it gets red, creates ulcers, and that's what gives you your pains and everything going wrong.
So tell me about the symptoms of these diseases. We've established, you know, what they are, and I suppose you can have both, can't you?
You're either one or the other, but there is a kind of Crohn's that mainly acts as colitis. Ulcerative colitis is just one issue. I mean, Crohn's disease, there's four different types, and one of them is Crohn's colitis. So it's mostly in the large intestine.
Okay.
Common symptoms for both of them, diarrhea, cramping pains, tiredness, fatigue, feeling unwell, loss of appetite, loss of weight, anemia, and mouth ulcers.
But I mean, some people have IBS, which I have, that irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
That's something completely different, isn't it?
There's something that you will eat that will upset your tummy, whereas this is, it will upset your tummy to the point of your tummy will then go, well, actually, I really don't like this, and will start doing other things, attacking itself, and just generally doing you in.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, that's something I have, and unfortunately what it does, it's like a pack of cards. You deal a decent hand of cards, and you have a day when you're all right, and then you have other days when you are forever going to the toilet for no apparent and justifiable reason.
No. Sometimes, I know with Crohn's disease and colitis, stress can be a big factor, and I know I find I can be going to the toilet loads and then be like, that had happened and that had happened. I'm not thinking about it, but subconsciously the stress is pushing me and, making me go. I don't realise I have to stop and evaluate what's gone on.
So how is this diagnosed then?
It's a combination of you keep having to go back to your GP, and then it's with blood tests to see the inflammation markers within your blood, having to take a stool sample in. And then generally it comes down to shoving a camera in so they can look at the insides, take biopsies and test them.
But why do we get it? Is it just an anomaly of nature, would you say?
There's still nothing truly defined for it. It could be hereditary, it could be environmental factors. I think somebody had said to me, they believe it comes down through the paternal, maternal side.
Okay.
Something like, how does that work? But there's no set, hence why Crohn's and Colitis UK are trying to push to find some research to get an overall idea of how it is, because it's different for everybody. I know when I was diagnosed, it was, I've read online somebody's allergic, they can't have sausage, it sets them off. I was like, I have a sausage sandwich every weekend, I'm fine, so that's not my one. It's, yeah, trial and error.
But it must have, you know, a terrible effect on you, not only from a health perspective, but generally from a lifestyle perspective.
Yeah, you can end up having to cancel plans or, you know, if you're going out for the day, look, where's the toilet? What's the access like for them? So I know last year for a lot of people, with all the public toilets being shut, everybody was like, well, don't know, I'm just going to stay in my house. I can't go anywhere. I don't trust it. Signing up to Crohn's and Colitis UK, you will be sent a pack, you get a card that you can show. Not everywhere accepts it, but it just says, I have a toilet condition, could I please use your staff toilet? They also will provide you with a radar key so you can get in the disabled.
That's good, yeah.
And pushing, the currently not all illnesses or not all disabilities are visible, because a lot of people, you know, you look at me, I look fine, you go in the disabled toilet, like, well, what are you doing in there? Why have you been in there? It's like, well, I actually have got something wrong with me, but it's internally wrong. And yeah, you can get, but people have managed to get blue passes for this, but it's just fighting to prove, you know, I need to be able to park somewhere to get to the toilet.
Sure. Now, I mean, this obviously hasn't, you've explained the effect that it has on you, but what about for somebody going to school or college or going to work? How understanding and sympathetic are educational establishments and employers generally? Because if somebody's away from their desk for a prolonged period of time, they sometimes can be accused of skiving. But if you're having a bad day and you can't leave the toilet for some considerable time because you're having a bad day, then that employer needs to be a bit more understanding,
I think,
surely.
It's trying to push, make sure when you start, your employer's aware. And yeah, I think it depends on who they are, how lenient they are, if they do recognise it, and just trying to get it all put into place. Kind of lucky. I was diagnosed at 14. I missed most of year 10 to being, you know, off or having to see nurses. So I was in maybe half of the year. The next year, year 11, GCSEs, I managed to do all right, but was in and out of school, same with college. And then work, I've lost jobs through not being able to turn up or going home. It's, yeah, it can take its toll. You can try pushing through, but some of the times you can make yourself worse via pushing through. It's, yeah.
Yeah,
talk to your employer.
Absolutely. Now, do you mind if I ask about your surgery? Because before we started, Dean showed me a scar that he had. Are you happy to talk about that? Tell me, so you had surgery. What led to that?
So, I can't moan. I'd managed to go 14 years before needing surgery, majorly. And we'd found there were parts of my small intestine that had stuck together. And then where they had passed together, my body had made little bypasses, thing called fistulas. It's just little tubes that'll pop up, go, oh, I want to go over here, I'll connect this to this. And then you also get strictures, so you get a narrowing of the intestines, so everything goes into a traffic jam, and my body decided, well, I'll bypass this. Everything was going round and round, wasn't going through, so they decided, right, we've got to go in, we need to remove stuff. So I had about 3 or 4 chunks of small intestine removed, a bit of my large intestine, because those had joined together. And then I spent a year and a half living with a stoma bag. So it was an opening of the intestine brought to your stomach wall, and you have a bag which collects all your goings on that you just empty out. Otherwise, you go so that's an ileostomy. If you go the other end on the large intestine, you've got a colostomy, and that collects more of your bigger, sort of solider poop, if you can get to that. There's people who have had everything removed. It goes stomach and then straight to a bag, pretty much. So you end up, I'm having to have B12 injections, iron infusions, vitamin D, because where they've removed part of the bowel is where my body absorbs the vitamins and where it absorbs bile acid. So if I have a highly fatty meal, it goes straight through me because my body can't reabsorb the bile acid, which comes out to break down the fat.
So I guess you've had to modify your diet then.
Yes. You find your triggers, look at avoiding them, or you try, I tend to try sticking low fat because I can't handle it anymore. But low fat, low grease. For me, it was always, a greasy pizza. So I was like, well, I'll buy a frozen one instead. But it's finding the balance of what works for you. Every food's different for every person.
And I suppose there's no real treatment, because clearly you've had surgery, and I guess if there was treatment, wouldn't have had that.
But there's a multitude you can have. You start off generally with steroids. That's the quick, easy fire fix. And then you're introduced to immunosuppressants, so it will stop your body attacking you. But then obviously it opens you up to anything and everything. So I've had my flu jab yesterday because my immune system's compromised. And I forgot where I was.
No, well, I mean, well, clearly, I mean, you've got to look after yourself extra more, haven't you, really? Because you've got to keep, as you say, your flu jab, your COVID jab, any other jabs that you need.
Yeah,
any of the boosters. Look after your own health because you are susceptible now.
Yeah, and then tablets every day. You're pretty much going to live on tablets your life. I currently have a treatment where I inject at home every 8 weeks. There was one I was on where I was injecting every week at home. There's some you go into hospital every 8 weeks. There's a multitude. And there's one I know somebody's on, which is almost like a cancer-level drug, and that's sort of like the top rung. That's probably two drugs above me because there's only about 9 really available. It's for testing and making it confirmed.
So what sort of effect does this have on, you know, your wife and your wider family? Because obviously they'll support you through this, but, you know, this will have an effect on everything else, won't it?
I think because it's been that long in the family and I've never really shied away from talking about it, everybody's there to support, chip in. Do you need a hand? Are you all right to do something today? Do you want, you know, do you need a rest? That's one of the better things. You need to rest more often. Your body's going through a lot. It's using a lot of energy. You find you need a rest day. My wife's been through a lot. But I think originally I didn't tell her. We'd been together for about a year. And I had a big flare up. I lost, in the space of 3 months, I lost 6 stone. Wasn't eating, wasn't drinking. Took myself to hospital. But she was like, well, are you just playing up? You know, just come on, let's go out and do this. Like, I can't. And then it was, you never told me about any of this. I was like, well, I didn't know how. And then since then, she's been there through everything. She was pretty much a feature in the hospital along with me for the last couple of times I've been in, and there have been some big times. The first big surgery I was in for 12 weeks. 2 years ago I was in, I think, over most of the summer. Yeah, you get to know the nurses, but a lot of them have said they like to stick to, as horrible as it is to deal with people's poo and all of that, you see the same people, you know, you're going to see them constantly. It's not a blank face, oh yeah, your arm's good, see you, never. As horrible as it is, they know they're going to see you again, but they can see the improvements, get to know you. It's, you know, gives them something.
Sure. If anybody's listening that's experiencing these kind of symptoms, it's important, I think, to differentiate between, you know, eating something that's disagreed with you or IBS.
Yeah.
Or this. So it's, what I don't want to do is spark fear into people, but just run down some of the symptoms that people might experience, and then where do we start with getting a diagnosis?
If you find yourself going, you know, diarrhea-like, quite obvious, you know, it could be 2 days generally diarrhea. If you find yourself going more often than that, and you're getting stomach pains, or you're noticing your hair could be going brittle because you're not getting vitamins you need, you go to your GP and start saying, you know, I need these tests, I think this might be done. And the main thing that they're looking for in your blood is a CRP marker, which is the inflammation. In general people, it's about a 5. You know, if you've got a slight little cut, maybe a 10. I think my baseline, I think I found out the other week, it's about 35.
Good
I think
Lord.
I've gone up to like 200 and something with
crumbs.
Surgeries and stuff. But yeah, it's trying to get that. There's a level of protein in your stool samples that can tell how bad things are. It's pushing to get your GP. I got lucky with my diagnosis. I had an abscess. They looked at it and went, that needs removing. Tested it. It's Crohn's disease. I know people, yeah, 2 years back and forth. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. No. You just need to eat better. You need to take these tablets. It's, you've got to fight with your GP. If you do seriously think there is something wrong, to get the tests done. And get referred
to
hospital.
And not to be scared to actually make that step, because that's really important.
Yeah, you've got to do it. I know my abscess, I hid it for maybe 2 months because of my age. I didn't want somebody downstairs. And it probably got worse because I hid it. It's, being open now, which is why I volunteered with the charity. I've been through it all. I've done everything. I might as well help people share my experiences, because you've got to be open to talk about it.
Tell me about what you do with the charity.
So we run events in the West Midlands area to raise awareness, to raise donations, get people together so people can chat to other people, you know, swap tips, hints, just talk to somebody who knows what you're going through. We've done The 19th of May is usually World IBD Day. We've been in New Street, Grand Central, New Street Station, raising up money. We've done little events here and there. We've been called, can you come and do this? We've chosen your charity, come and collect the check, let us know some more. It's, yeah, we just try and raise awareness. We've not been able to do much recently. We've had a couple of virtual meetings because of COVID. We are now allowed to run face-to-face meetings, so we're currently trying to find where could we do it, what's big enough, looking at our health and safety assessments to figure it out. And we understand a lot of people, because your immune system's already not the best, you might not want to come out. So we're trying to find all the avenues that we could cover to help support people.
Sure. Give your website a mention.
Crohn's and colitis.org.uk.
That's the one. Crohn's and colitis.org. Back of the net. Crohn's and colitis.org.uk. There's a ton of information on
this. Yes,
I was having a look
support
on that earlier on this evening.
There's so many guides. Guides for children. I think I was chatting, because we've got the children's hospital, we have one of the consultants or their nurse come to some of our meetings to meet people. And I think we were chatting, they had a six-month-year-old diagnosed, they'd had some issues following birth, and it was like, yeah, somebody at 6 months has got this condition.
Now, you've got children, haven't you?
I've one nine-year-old.
Yeah, and again, because it can be hereditary, is your nine-year-old all right?
She seems to be.
Good.
I think we make sure, you know, toilet is very much a, how was it, what's going on here, if something wrong, talk to us. I think when my wife, when we went to some meetings, when I first found out and started doing stuff with the charity before volunteering, my wife, it was a medical talk, and she was constantly like, is there a test? Can we do a test on her? You know, we'd like to know if she's got it. It's like, no, she's got to wait until the symptoms present.
Right, okay. Difficult one. But as you say, if you're showing that those kind of symptoms that you've just illustrated, then it's down to the doctors,
yes,
as you say, and fight to see your doctor as well.
I think I've been lucky with mine, and I think my chemist at one point, he briefly had it, but I don't think he properly did, but he knew all of the stuff. He was, you know, you need this, I'll sort you out, I'll get the doctor to prescribe this, let's get you going.
Sure. Dean Bennett from Crohn's and Colitis UK West Midlands, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night
Live. No problem, thank you very much.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.